Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. This week, we are visiting with Jared Barnes, junior catcher from the baseball team, as the Jaguars prepare to open the 2017 season. Jared, appreciate your taking the time. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned, you start play this week, Friday night, 6:30 against Eastern Illinois, and that's a weekend series with the Panthers. You play again Saturday at 2, Sunday at 1 at Stanky Field. How excited are you and the rest of the guys to officially get going now that you've been practicing for like over a month?
Excited is not a good word. I mean, there's not a good word to put on it, but you know, you play all fall and you play in the spring inter squads, and it gets to a point, it's like, all right, we're ready to beat up on somebody else now. We're tired of beating up on our guys. But no, we're excited. You know, we got a lot of guys. We're pretty healthy right now, and we got a very talented group, and we're ready to get to work.
Have you set any sort of goals or expectations for the spring? And that's both individually and as a team?
Well, of course, you know, you set goals individually, but at the end of the day, it's not about you, it's about the team. You know, you want to do whatever you can to go out and help your team win every single day. It's not about you. Of course, you got your own personal goals. Yeah, I might want to hit this, or I might want to field like this, but no, it's about coming together as a team, being smarter, being more prepared than the next team, and hopefully go out and get a win that day.
Is it? Do you guys talk about anything in terms of Sun Belt postseason, or those are just – those are the expectations of the program? You guys understand it, don't discuss it, and just focus on the day-to-day?
Yeah, I think so. We take it day-to-day. I mean, you have to take care of the day at hand before you can worry about what's down the road. Obviously, you know, we've had some success my first 2 years here. So you can say it's an expectation. You know, we expect to get to a regional. I mean, we have a very talented group, and like I said, we're excited to get to work and see what this team can actually do.
So I want to ask you, you just mentioned it. Your first 2 years here, team's gone 79-42 overall, 40-18 in the Sun Belt Conference. You've won an outright and shared another Sun Belt Conference championship, and you went to an NCAA regional last year. That's pretty good team results. How do you guys feel that? How do you build on that? What do you do different to take the next step as you get the program at? Advancing it, and because I know ultimately I talked to Coach Calvi, the dream is Omaha,
right?
And I think that's for coaches, student athletes, anyone that gets out on the field. But how do you get that? How do you get there?
I don't think you prepare any different. You know, I think we got one of the greatest coaching staffs in the country. They do a great job of getting us prepared day in and day out. They go over the little things that you would think would never happen, and then it pops up in a game. You're like, man, I'm glad we worked on that. But I don't think you prepare any different. I think you go out every single day and you work hard and you give 110% and you work at your craft. And at the end of the day, you, like I said earlier, you want to be smarter and you want to be more prepared than the next team. And if you're more prepared, you're smarter, and then you have those games where you're out and talented, then you're going to win a lot of ball games.
You know, as a catcher, I think fans from the outside looking in inherently assume that that is a position of leadership on the field. Not just because of how much you have to work with the pitching staff, but also the infield and defenses and things of that nature. Describe your leadership role on this team and how you approach those responsibilities.
Well, there's a lot of responsibilities. You know, you look at your three premier positions at catcher, center fielder, and shortstop right up the middle. Those are the three guys that really got to be in control. And, you know, I'm one of the – me and Carter Perkins, our other catcher, is one of the two guys on the team that get to work with all three phases, is in hitting, pitching, and defense, is where, you know, all the other guys don't get to deal with the pitching staff. It's actually – it's more responsibility, but I like – you know, you like it. Being a catcher growing up, you get used to it. But it's a lot of fun. You know, you get to go out every day and catch bullpens and work with these guys and learn different personalities and how they work and what they like to throw and how to move. There's a lot going on, but I really do enjoy it. It's a, like I said, it's more of a responsibility, but it's enjoyable.
That's great lead into my next question for you is how you work with pitchers on an individual basis. I mean, how much of it comes down to what you do in practice and how much time do you spend with them during the week? And then what's it like working with them in games?
Well, I would say the majority of our time actually is spent with the pitchers. You know, they got to throw near about every day. With bullpens, you know, we're playing games right now too, but everybody's different. That's probably one of the most interesting slash difficult things you have to learn is, especially this year, we got a bunch of new guys that come in and you have a bunch of new personalities. You know, guys like our Friday night guy, Randy Bell, he's not a guy that you go out there if you don't think he's doing well and scold. He's a guy that you got to calm down is where, you know, you go out and other guys, you got to be kind of a bully to get them fired up and they'll go. So that's, you got to know each guy and what makes them tick. You know, some guys are better calm, some guys are better, more fired up. But just finding that out is probably the most interesting thing there is.
And I imagine in that role, that's where fall ball probably is as big as anything, because that's a chance. You do inter-squad stuff during that time, but there's a lot of individual work in the fall that allows you to figure that out.
Absolutely. The fall is where you get to know these personalities, and the spring's where you perfect your craft, you know, and try to move in and out with different pitchers. You know, some guys sink, some guys, you know, run. There's a lot of different ways to set up and make this pitcher look better. So you got to do whatever you can behind the plate to help your team win.
I mean, so obviously because of the extensive role you have with the pitching staff, you got to be working with Coach Keller. Talk about game day. How does that work? Is it, does he call the pitches? Do you call the pitches? How does that responsibility come about, and how do you guys work together on that?
Well, my freshman year, I mean, I was nearby venture off to say he called about 100% of the pitches. Just being a freshman behind the plate, I understand that. Last year, he gave me a little more rain, and this fall and going into the spring, he's let me have a lot of rain. Ultimately, that's Coach Calvi's call. You know, if he wants something in certain counts, then he'll obviously you go for it. And Coach Keller does an absolute tremendous job with our pitching staff, with pitch calling. But like I said, so far, I know it's inter-squad, but he's let me run with it. But whatever he wants to do, it's going to be the right call either way.
So now, I'll bring this up in a couple different points. Baseball versus a lot of other sports is different as you move prep, college, and professional level. Different ways to handle it. And in one instances where it's different is with so many rounds of the draft, college student athletes in their third year are eligible to be drafted at the end of the year. And that's different. You know, it's different in terms of so many times people come and go and you're not sure what's going to happen until the summer happens. How do you handle that? Have you thought about it? Because you're going into your junior year and you'll be eligible. And how does that balance work of that individual dream of playing professionally versus the team goals of championships and regionals?
Right. I'm not going to say it's not humbling. You know, I've talked to some teams, and it's very humbling to sit down and talk about my future in this game. And I know it sounds cliche, but that's not what's important to me right now. What's important to me right now is helping South Alabama get to Omaha, get to the College World Series. You know, ultimately, if I go out and I play my game, then I think that's something that will happen for me at the end of the year. But my goal right now is to help us win every single day.
So going back to the prep level, you're from Tallahassee. You attended North Florida Christian School. And as a senior, you were a high school All-American, which is, it's a big honor, I'm sure. But also, you know, as being considered a lead at the prep level, you're going to catch a lot of attention. Obviously, South Alabama recruited you. Who else did? Talk about the recruiting experience and ultimately why you chose to come to South Alabama.
Well, the recruiting experience for me was actually quite of a short one. I committed at the beginning of my junior year. I talked to a few teams here and there, and I went on a lot of visits to some ACC, SEC schools. You know, I talked to several JUCOs around Tallahassee, and I give it the full spectrum, you know, from ACC all the way down to JUCO, SEC. But, you know, Jerry Zuli, who was here, is now at La Tech, ultimately recruited me fairly early. And, you know, I come down here, I got on my visit, and I left here. I was like, it doesn't matter who recruits me. I don't see myself being any other place. This place really fits my personality, this coaching staff. You know, Coach Calvi coming from University of South Carolina, where they just won a national championship. And, you know, in the second year, his recruiting class won another one after he left. So, you know, just leaving here, I felt like this is exactly where I wanted to be. And, you know, looking back on it now, going into my third year, that's the best decision I've ever made.
What were your expectations going into that spring of your freshman year? In your mind, were you expecting to be a major impact individual? And I'll bring it up in a moment, but, like, did you expect to have immediate success like you did the opening weekend of the year?
Well, I think you can look back and say, you know, I mean, I know how hard I work. I mean, that's irrelevant for this right here, but yes, I mean, I expected to come in here and play some sort of a role. I didn't, you know, I had some guys in front of me. I knew that coming in. That's part of the recruiting process, is trying to decide where you want to go and who's in front of you, and ultimately you want to play. But I had a really good fall my freshman year, and, you know, I felt like I had a good chance to play a lot. I didn't know how much, you know, and, you know, I got the call open tonight, and I didn't look back. I mean, I want to keep moving forward, like I said, and help our team win every single day, whether that's playing or if I'm on the bench. That doesn't matter. Everybody plays a role. You know, you can't do it by yourself. It takes all 34 other guys and all the coaching staffs, and it's humbling looking back on it now, but like I said, I'm excited to get moving forward.
And I will move forward again, but just for our listeners, I will let them know that opening Friday night in your collegiate debut, 4 hits. And then you come back the next day, 3 more hits, couple of doubles, 3 RBI. So you wasted little time in making an impact. Now that you have a chance to look back on it, what do you think was the hardest part of making the transition from the high school level to playing collegiate baseball?
The amount of games. You know, you play about 30 games if you have a successful season in high school, and, like, you look at that in high school, like, man, you're not even halfway there yet. So I would say the amount of games for sure. You know, they talking about hitting that freshman wall, and mentally I didn't hit it, but physically I did without knowing it. But once you got used to that and you start learning how to take care of your body day in and day out, which has probably been a big adjustment for me from my freshman year to this year, you know, that goes personally, and that's all a lot of credit to our Chris McDonald, our athletic trainer, does a great job of helping guys stay healthy day in and day out. So I would say that's the biggest adjustment for me.
This might be slightly painful, so I sort of apologize for it, but I want to ask. You guys went 37-20 that year. You won the Sun Belt Championship in 19-9. You're the one seed at the league tournament. You get to Sunday, the final day. You play. Now, you may have already figured it out by then, but arguably the program's biggest rival in the championship game, and you lose on a play in extra innings, 12 innings, and there goes a chance to go to a regional. How hard was that to handle and process kind of immediately afterward as you went into the summer? And was that something you guys used as motivation that led to the success of last spring?
Well, absolutely. And looking back at it as a freshman, I mean, you realize it's a big deal. But looking back now, my junior year, you don't realize how big of a deal that one game right there was. But, you know, we lost with, you know, arguably our best bullpen guy on the mound with Ben Taylor, who was a workhorse for us all year. Shout out to him. He's in big league training camp right now, so happy for that guy. But, yeah, for sure, motivated. Anytime you lose, you're motivated to get right back out there. And for us, you know, we had to wait a whole nother offseason to get to the next game. But I think, you know, looking back on it, we returned some guys there. We also lost a lot of guys there. And the guys that come back had an even better year than they did my freshman year. And, you know, we went to a regional. We lost in the regional this year, and I don't expect anything less as far as motivation goes to get to a super regional and eventually get to Omaha.
So a lot of guys who came back showed improvement, and in fairness to you, you were one of them. Last year, sophomore, he hit .292, 14 doubles, 6 homers, 34 RBI. The team went 42-22, shared the Sun Belt title 21-9, and went to the regional. For you, what did you do to make that improvement from your freshman year to your sophomore year?
Just getting a little older, a little more mature, understanding how the game, the pace of the game, you know, as far as offense goes, you learn, you know, to me, if it was anywhere around the zone my freshman year, I was swinging. That's just what it was, you know, and you learn to start leaving some of those pitches alone because you're going to get yourself out. And that was the biggest adjustment for me last year, is knowing what pitches to go on and when to go. But like for me, my job is behind the plate. As a catcher, defense always comes first, 10 out of 10 times. And try to help your team as much as you can, because, you know, you're having to deal with the pitching staff, you know, every single day. So, you know, obviously if I can hit, that's a bonus, but my job is behind the plate.
Have you found over time that in your role as a catcher and just seeing what's coming across the plate from that perspective, and also getting a feel for what a certain umpire is calling on a different day, is that anything you can use to help you when you come up to the plate with a bat in your hand?
Absolutely. I mean, it's especially in the fall, you know, you see our guys, you know exactly, you know what their pitches are, so it helps you a little bit in the fall and the spring inter squad. But yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a different view that most guys in baseball don't get to see. But like I said, I enjoy the responsibility back there, and I enjoy working with our pitching staff day in and day out.
So tell our listeners, what was the regional experience like? Was it – how much different, if at all, was it from games you played in the regular season up to that point? Because last year was the first year you went.
Right. Well, postseason's obviously special. You know, we sit there and we watch the selection show, and it's kind of exciting to see your program pop up across the screen. And for me, it was kind of bittersweet. I get to go back to Tallahassee, where I was from, to play Florida State, a team I grew up watching. You know, and the regional final game we played, Cole Sands for Florida State was on the mound, and I went to high school with him. So it was fun in that sense, you know. But like I said, I expect nothing less this year. I think the guys we have coming in are more talented than the guys that left. And like I said, I think this year's team has a better chance to hit than my first previous 2 years. And our pitching staff, especially our bullpen, is extremely deep. You know, Coach Lucky does a great job with our infielders, and we don't miss on defense. You know, that's what we pride ourselves on, is pitching and defense. But this year we're going to have a chance to really bang it around a little bit with the bat. So I'm excited to see what we got going.
So after last season, in the summer, you went up and played in the Cape Cod League, which is pretty much the highest distinction an amateur player can get in what hopefully turns into a professional career. Tell us about that. Tell us about, like, day-to-day in the Cape, what you did, you know, your living arrangements, you know, kind of the fields you played at, and how practices and games were compared to your experience at the college level.
You know, we didn't really have a whole lot of break, and that's more of my personality. I could have probably took a week off after we finished, but we didn't. You know, we finished up on I think it was a Thursday, and then I went home. We had an exit meeting on Friday. I went home Saturday, and I got in the car, and I drove up on Sunday, you know, as fast as I could. That's just me being the kind of person that I am. We got up there, and, you know, you live with a host family, and I ended up with a great, great host family. I have very fortunate with that, and my roommate is actually Arkansas State's, one of their Friday night guys last year, so I knew of him going in, which was kind of cool. But it was fun. You know, early on before we started playing, we practiced a few times, but, you know, you go out and you take in and out and BP, and you play 4, 5, 6 times a week, which is – it's a lot of games, but when you're up there with a new group of guys, you form new friendships, new relationships. You know, for me being from Tallahassee, I was 23 hours away from home, but it was a blast. You know, you see the talent that you do every single day is unlike anywhere else. Whether you go up there and, you know, you hit – you know, .150 or you hit .400, you get better. It doesn't matter. Just being around that group of guys, seeing that talent every single day was really a blessing for me to be able to go up there.
I had the fortune of being able to go up there years ago, and just for a day I went and, you know, caught an afternoon game at one place and a night game at another. And maybe it's changed as the league has grown, but like, is it still you're playing not even like high school fields? It's kind of like you play at local fields. It's a very different atmosphere, I think, from the college and professional game. It's very low key. It's very family friendly. Is it still like that?
It absolutely is. You know, when you get the call to go to Cape Cod, and you're thinking, all right, this is pretty prestigious here, and you go up there and you think, well, this is not really what I had in mind. But if you sit back and you think, I'd sit back and reflect on, you know, what the Cape experience was like, it kind of humbles you a little bit. Like, you know, we're playing this game for fun. You know, this is what this is all about. It's not about having the nicest field out there. It's about going out with a group of friends and playing this game, which is ultimately the whole reason we started doing this in the first place. But like I said, the whole experience, from the fields to the host family to the friendships, the relationships that you make, was absolutely humbling and a blessing that I got to be able to do that.
Was that your first experience with Wood Bat League?
For an extended amount of time, yes. You know, you play some travel ball and you play in some wood bat tournaments and whatnot. But for an extended period of time, yes, that was my first experience with a wood bat over time.
What's the biggest difference that you could explain to listeners in hitting with aluminum versus hitting with wood? And is it hard to make that transition?
I would say yes and no. Yes, in the fact that you're going to have to tone your swing down a little bit. You know, it's not about... You know, you can get away with some hits with some aluminum bats if you miss hit it. If you miss hit one with a wood, you might as well go back to the dugout because you're going to be out. So it really shows you your flaws. But at the same time, I would say yes in the fact that it's still a game. You know, it's still the same swing. It takes a little bit of adjustment, but once you get used to it, it's not that bad.
So you mentioned a moment ago, and I want to bring it up here. We're visiting with Jared Barnes from the baseball team this week on Inside Jag Nation. When did you start playing baseball, and why did you get involved? And beyond that, were there any other sports that you played on a regular basis growing up?
Shoot, I probably started when I was 4 or 5, you know, just like most guys out here. And it was just something that I fell in love with. And, you know, I know nowadays they preach, you know, they want you to play more than one sport. But for me growing up, all I ever wanted to do was play baseball. So I know I never played any other sport. You know, I love to go out and shoot basketball or throw the football around. But as far as competitively, no, baseball was the only thing that I have ever done.
When did you start catching, and why did you make that move behind the plate?
I'm not quite sure, to be honest with you, why I started doing it. It's a very tough position, but you know, I would say as far as catching goes, you know, when I can think back when I was little, and I'd get out against a piece of wood, and my uncles would hit balls as hard as me as they could, and I had bruises all over me, and I think that's part of the reason I'm a catcher. They made me a little tougher when I was younger, but no, the credit to those two guys. They mean a lot to me, and they set some good examples for me at an early age. But no, I started catching. I've caught pretty much my whole life. Once, you know, you got probably 11 or 12 years old when you start to play it consistently. But I played a lot of middle infield growing up. I wouldn't say I didn't start solely catching until my junior year of high school, and then that's when I started taking over in the recruiting process and all started, and that's ultimately how I ended up here.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned it before and again. So with the Major League Baseball draft, high school prospects are eligible to be drafted, and a lot are. And they got to make the decision between, are they going to go to the school they committed to, or are they going to sign a professional contract? Was that ever in play for you, or were you really more focused on going to the collegiate level and kind of knew that you were coming here regardless of when and your name would have been called?
Yes, that was an option for me coming out of high school. I definitely had that option. You know, we had, looking back on it now, our center fielder went in the top 5 rounds. Our best pitcher went in the top 5 rounds. We had another one who ended up at Florida State who was a high prospect. You know, a senior from last year that was a freshman when I was a senior just went in the first round of the Rangers. So we had a lot of talent surrounded by, most of them on the mound, which is ultimately where I got my exposure. You know, my senior year had a really good year, and the draft thing jumped on me really quick toward the end because, you know, they're coming to see these guys. Like, oh, this kid can play a little bit. And it got really serious really fast. And but, yes, that was definitely an option for me. You know, after talking to my family and sitting down, ultimately decided that – You know, defensively, I think I could have done it, but offensively, I wasn't ready yet. Maturity-wise, physically, I didn't think I was ready yet, so I had to make a decision for myself to end up coming here. And, you know, like I said, looking back on it now, that's the best decision I've ever made, and I'm excited going into this year.
Beyond team goals for this spring, individual goals that we know you have and that you don't have to tell us those, but long-term, what are your hopes and dreams in baseball?
Ultimately, I want to play this game as long as I can. You know, I know everybody's going to have that day where they're going to have to hang them up, and it's a upsetting thing to even think about. But, no, I want to play this game as long as I can. This is my passion. This is what I do every single day. This is what I enjoy doing. So, you know, hopefully this year, you know, we'll see where it goes. But like I said, this is about the team. This isn't about me. If I play, we'll take it from there. I want to play this game as long as I can.
So, you've had success on the field, and we've documented that, but you've also had success in the classroom. Each of your first 2 years, you've been named to the Sun Belt Conference Commissioners list, which is for student athletes who have a GPA for the year of 3.5 or better. How do you get that done? How are you successful at both? How do you make that work?
I would say that's one of the most difficult things coming in is learning how to balance your schoolwork and baseball, really setting your priorities. Because if you don't get what you're supposed to get done in the classroom, then you're not going to be on the field anyway, no matter how good you are. You know, and we have a great staff that really enforces that. Coach Calvi really, really gets after it as far as going to class. You know, our academic advisor, Cody Chris, does a great job at what he does to help us as much as we can if we need it. Just time management, really just – you know, putting your big boy pants on and doing what you have to do. Most of these guys are here to play baseball, but school has to come first. Like I said earlier, you know, baseball's going to come to an end for everybody, some sooner than later. And, you know, you got to get your education. You know, you got to have a plan B somewhere in there.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with Jared Barnes, junior catcher from the baseball team. He and his teammates opened the 2017 season at Stanky Field this weekend, Friday night at 6:30 against Eastern Illinois. The two teams will play again Saturday at 2 and Sunday at 1. We appreciate the time, but before we let you go, you got to pretend like you're calling pitches in the bottom of the ninth with a one-run lead. Got to get strikes, got to get outs to seal the deal with the win. I'm going to ask you some questions. First thing that pops in your mind.
Depends on who's on the mound. There's a lot that goes in my mind. there's a lot that goes in there. I'm a fastball guy. I like to get after with the fastball, but, you know, we got some guys that can really spin it. So I guess it depends on who's on the mound, but ultimately I have confidence in our guy that he's going to be better than who's ever at the plate.
All right. In your free time, what little of it you have, what do you like to do?
I'm a big fishing guy. I like to go fishing, you know, but like you said, what little time we do have to relax a little bit, you know, get your body back healthy, get ready for the next game, just hang out with some friends, you know. But I would say outside of baseball, my hobby would definitely be fishing.
What's your favorite sport outside of baseball?
I'm a ginormous Dallas Cowboys fan, so I would probably say football.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Ooh, probably the Dallas Cowboys game last year. I actually went with my dad. We went to a Cowboys game, and they actually played really well. And it was over Christmas break, so it was definitely an adventure to go see.
You went to Jerry's World?
I sure did. I went to that brand new stadium, and it is unbelievable.
What athletic event have you never been to that's on your bucket list to go to?
Oh, man. I would definitely like to go visit most of the MLB parks. I know we're talking about baseball here, but I would like to go visit a lot of parks and watch those guys play, hopefully play in some of those parks. that's what I would say.
Get a chance to take a dream vacation. Where are you going?
That's a good one. Probably somewhere fishing, you know, maybe somewhere up in the mountains, something like that. I'm not a big beach guy, pretty pale skin. Sun don't do well with me anyway. But probably somewhere fishing, something in the mountains, just something chill. I like to go do stuff, but I also like to just hang out a little bit and relax.
Ironic. He's pale skinned, doesn't like being outdoors all that much, and plays an outdoor sport. Funny how that worked out. What's your favorite movie?
I'm a big Mark Wahlberg guy, so I'd probably say Shooter is probably my favorite movie. I like a lot of war movies, too, so that's where I would go with that.
Favorite musical artist?
I kind of like whatever's popular, but I, like I said, my go-to is probably country. I'm a big George Strait fan.
And somewhere on down the line, when a director comes up with the idea and a script and is going to do the Jared Barnes story, what actor is going to play the lead role?
Man, that's a great question. I don't know. Like I said, I'm a Mark Wahlberg fan, so that's the first thing I think of, so we'll go with that one.
Sounds good. Visiting with Jared Barnes on Inside Jag Nation. Appreciate the time this week. Best of luck, not just this weekend in the opening series, but throughout the spring.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags! Wow!